Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
It's good to be here. It's good to see each one of you. Now, I don't have the John Travolta moves. But I can sling my arms with any of them. The word save is in the Bible 207 times. The word saved is in the Bible 104 times. The word savest is in the Bible 3 times. Saveth, 7 times. Saving, 12 times. For a total of 333. And the very maximum that it can be talking about eternal salvation is 11. Wow. So we got to rightly divide.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Numerous ways that we can be saved. And we need all of them all.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So, John Henry Thrower, great preacher from California that happened to be black. And he said the gospel should warm your heart, stretch your mind, provoke your will, and tan your hide. Now, I'll leave that fourth one for your pastor. That comes in under his category. And I'm waiting for that one to come in Russellville. But it will. Preaching is read the Bible and give the sense and cause or help them to understand the reading.
Right.
Nehemiah 8:8.
Right.
So they read in the book of the law of God diligently, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I want to read to you from the book of John. I guess I need to share with you the reason that I first, well, let me back up to the beginning of our marriage. My wife was a member of a Southern Baptist Church. It was a good people, loving, kind. In fact, that's where we had our vows said, was in that Southern Baptist Church. And they were good people. I had a sister and a brother-in-law that lived out there in the county, and they went to a community church out in the country called Coal Ridge. And it was also a Southern Baptist church. All of our friends, schoolmates, the vast majority of them were members or at least attending that church. Great people, could not be better people. And my parents were Primitive Baptists. Every first and third Sunday, they went about 15 miles to a church, and they heard the same sermon every time they went. And the second and fourth Sunday, they drove 40 miles from out of state to St. Louis, Missouri. that was regular with them. And I decided to dedicate myself. And we were farmers, so we had certain times of the year you work a lot, and certain times of year you don't have to work much at all. So I decided that I was going to take a Bible and prove my parents' theology wrong, so that I could freely, with a clear conscience, take my wife and our children to Coleridge Southern Baptist Church. Good people, great people. So I didn't know where to start. And I don't like to admit this because John is an old man's name. But my name is John.
Yes, it is.
I don't use it because it's an old man's name. But since my name was John, I decided I'd start reading in John. So that's where we are tonight. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the printers of this book that we call the KJV, and it is the Word of God. The KJV is the written Word of God. And there's no errors in it. There's no commas in the wrong place. It's all the Word of God. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. And they were, these printers of this book were wise enough to capitalize that word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, was God. And He was in the beginning. Before this world was ever spoken into existence, Jesus was. He goes as far back as God Himself.
Amen, brother. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you don't have an Oxford English Dictionary, you need one. If you can't find one, let me know and I'll find you one. On the bookshelf at my house. But according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word, a significant phrase or short sentence inscribed upon something. The Bible or some part or passage of it, as embodying a divine communication. The Word of God, of the Father, the eternal Word, and so forth, as a title for Jesus Christ. So even the people of a secular education defines this word and says it is the Son of God.
Yes.
So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John, could you clarify that a little? That's plain enough. Even I can understand.
Yes. Amen. Right.
All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't understand it. The light's shining, but they didn't understand it. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He was a forerunner. And he said, I'm not even worthy. Said, I have need to be baptized. Jesus came to him to be baptized. Is there anyone here that's putting off being baptized? Well, your Savior was baptized in water.
Amen.
And he didn't need that to become the Son of God. He did that to set an example for the rest of us, and it is an entrance into the church. You don't get there any other way. So don't put it off. Tell Brother Sonny to run that baptistry full tonight. There was a man whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Well, I'm gonna fast forward here, and I'm gonna expect y'all to catch up. I'm gonna fast forward to verse 11. Brother Gary has done an excellent job of teaching us how Israel came to be. He came unto his own, and that's his own nationality. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They said, this cannot be. That's a carpenter's son. He don't have any kings in his past. This can't be the Messiah. The Messiah is coming out of Israel. Out of the nation of Israel, the Jews. He came to them. And they did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That does not mean come into being. He don't give anybody power. Your parents, your natural parents, never gave you power to become their child. Isn't that right? Well, listen, I'm not going to... I told Brother Gary the other day, I said, Brother Gary, don't tell us when to say amen. Let us figure that out.
Amen.
Now here's the point. Here, every time I pause and do like this, that means say amen. But as many as received him as the Messiah,
That's right.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God. The become does not mean come into being. It means to be beautifying. It means this suit is becoming. You understand? That dress that you're wearing, it's becoming. It becomes you. Our actions, whether anybody's looking or not, should become us. You understand what I'm saying? It should beautify not us as people, but us as God's children. Should be doing things, even our actions should beautify, should become a child of God. I needed that amen. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now do you see the problem I had when I decided to prove my parents wrong? I picked the wrong book. I mean, it don't even get started good. Till it's making it clear. Every elect person will be born of Holy Spirit God before he dies naturally. It'll be before he understands the preacher. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but the will of man, nor the will of man, but of God. Well, like I said, this is proving the parents right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm telling you, the Son of God was born to a natural woman. He was about 12 years old. And they must have lived in America at that time. Because he went up, the parents had taken him and gone up to pay their tax. And he got lost from them. And they left, and they was gone a good while. And went back and found him, about 12 years old. And he was talking to the doctors and lawyers. They said, "Don't you know we're worried about your son? I wish every child in Arkansas could hear me. Jesus is said... They did not understand, but he went and was subject to them." You hear me? He obeyed them. He minded them. He was their son. He did what they said till he was about 13. No, about 30. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that come after me is preferred before me." John said, "I told you about him."
I told you he was coming here, and he was preferred before me. He's better than I am. For he was before me. He was before me, and he was after me, and he was preferred long before me. I must decrease, and he must increase. That same song is true today. He must continually increase in our minds and in our lives. The best sermon that will ever be preached is that one that's lived. It will have much more effect, much more lasting effect than the very most eloquent preaching that has ever been done. That sermon that is seen is the one that will be remembered. Scary thought, isn't it? And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Isn't that great? We've been given grace to be born again. I will go to my grave, and I want it to be understood when I go to my grave that if I'm saved at all, I'm saved by grace. But this says, and grace for grace. I believe he not only gave me grace to be born again, but I believe he gave me grace to understand it. And he gave me grace to proclaim it. He gave me grace to believe and worship him in and through that grace. And grace for grace. Grace to be born again. Grace to live by. It can't get any better than that. If it ever does, I sure want some of it. I'm going to fast forward all the way over to chapter 17. I don't know how many times I've said in my life, I'm running out of time. And that's a ridiculous statement. I don't know if I'm running out of time or not. I may be running out of the allotted time for this pulpit. I was going to verse 17, chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. Now this is real. This is not a fairy tale. The Son of God, the Son of Man, is hanging on the cross. There's nails in his hands. Both hands. There's nails in his feet. He's hanging there. The weight of his body is holding him up by nails. I want that to sink in. This is all man. Even though he's all God, he's all man and suffers pain and bleeds just like we do. And he's hanging there between heaven and earth. That's what he came to do. He came to offer himself a sacrifice for our sins.
Without that sacrifice, we'll all die and go to hell. And hell is real. It'll be plumb full. It's going to be hot, burning. But this man, this man that suffered pain just like, it hurt when it went through his hand. It would be almost an impossibility to nail him to the cross without it being laying on the ground. The cross laying on the ground, he laying on his back, fully alive. And they take nails. I don't know what they're made out of. Maybe wooden pegs. I don't know. But call nails. Nail prints in his hand. That hurts. Nail them through his legs. Hole dug. They stand him up. Raise that cross up. It hits the bottom. Boom. Pain. That hurts when it does that. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as. Now, if you're trying to destroy your parents' theology that believes in salvation by grace and grace alone, don't go here. Pass that one by. Hanging there. Blood running out. In agony and in pain. And he prays to Father in heaven. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I don't know how many that is, but I know when it was. It was before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, it tells us about that. I want to fast forward with me now to chapter 19, John chapter 19. He's hanging on the cross in agony, bleeding. Verse 19 of chapter 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. I'd say that covered all of their languages of the day. At least all of the people that were in the area at the day. This was written in their language. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. Now, this really happened. Now, this is not a fairy tale. The man that was born of the Virgin Mary lived and was obedient to his parents, obedient to the laws of the land, never broke a single law of the land in his life. He never rode his chariot above the speed limit. He was perfect. Amen. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Amen. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. I want to turn to Ephesians just a minute. I don't know what quitting time is, but we'll read Ephesians chapter 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I submit to you this letter is to you. You're here tonight. You're faithful in Christ. You say, "But I don't do everything." No, we don't. Any of us do everything we ought to do. But we're classified as faithful in Christ. This letter is to you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According, if this don't boggle your mind just a little bit, according as he hath chosen us in him before the world, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I submit to you, my friend, we were in Christ before we were in Adam. Amen. Is that good news or what? I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be here tonight. I appreciate Brother Sonny and what he's done here and what he's doing here. And I trust what he'll continue to be doing here. I appreciate him for calling and inviting us down. I can't thank you enough for being here and being such good listeners. Come to see us if it's ever so as you can, as we used to say. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.